Well, hey, you all. Welcome to the Sandy Savage Show. I'm your host, Sandy Savage. This podcast is a weekly podcast dedicated to the dreamers, the doers, the creatives, love, inspiration, and joy. We will be hearing the stories, motivations, daily lives, and dreams of men and women who are out there going for it. Now, I'm a business owner, a nonprofit founder, a ninth-generation Kentuckian, and married to the most awesome man, Tim Savage. I love to write, create, work with all the yarn, teach, and learn. So I want us to have an open dialogue about faith, life, challenging times and how we work through that, and how to maintain joy through it all. So, thanks for listening. Let's get started. Well, hey, everybody, this is Sandy Savage, and welcome to the Sandy Savage Show. Today on the podcast, I have got my friend, Dr. Melissa Carver, and I'm going to let her fill you in on all she is involved with. So, hey, Melissa.
Hey.
Good. Thank you for coming in. So tell us about yourself. Why don't you fill everybody in on just who you are, what you do, and where you're located, and all that good stuff.
Well, I do a lot of things. So I'm a mom first and foremost, always, and a wife, and I live in Berea, Kentucky. So I travel all around teaching workshops and keynote speaking on all things mindset, self-empowerment, manifestation, just all around getting out of that conditioned thinking that doesn't serve us anymore.
Oh, exactly. Oh my gosh. Everybody needs that. I think if people got their mindset straight, like that is something that holds everybody back.
Yeah.
Is really just mindset.
Everything is mindset.
Oh my
and
gosh.
We don't realize how conditioned we are because we don't know anything else. We only see from our eyes and our perspective. So it's always good to get someone else in there for some other perspectives.
Absolutely. Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it when, you know, if you're talking to somebody and you get somebody else's perspective on something, you go, oh yeah, that really wasn't as big of a deal as I thought it was.
Why didn't I think of that?
You know, or yeah, thank you for that, you know, different perspective so that I could just get everything straight. We need people, I believe, in our lives to talk things through. And I'm personally a verbal processor. So I always, you know, I am always, my husband, he gets that earful all the time because I'm constantly just trying to verbally process everything out. So how did you get into the field that you're in right now?
Well, actually I was working in a strip club for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
So during that beginning process, I didn't think I wanted to do anything else. I had no idea what else was out there. I had gone to college previously and I thought I was going to be a pediatrician.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember driving to school one day and thinking, what am I doing?
Mm-hmm.
This is not what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think I chose that because it sounded good.
Right, right, right.
And I remember having an intuitive thought, many intuitive thoughts, actually, as a child, thinking that DR was going to be before my name.
Huh.
And I didn't realize that didn't mean MD.
Right. Right, right, right. Mm-hmm.
And I just got caught up in that process of, yeah, this is who I'm going to be. And it hit me in the face. Like, no, you're not. So that I just took a U-turn and ended up working in a club for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
But toward the middle end of that process, I realized what I was actually doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that was helping people and guiding people in manifesting more of what they want and less of what they don't want.
Mm-hmm.
And more people were coming in over and over repetitively to get my perspective and guidance. And I was like, wow, this is really crazy that this is a strip club. But people are coming in here, powerful, quote unquote, powerful in a business sense. And some powerful even, you know, internally and spiritually and those type of things as well. But people that you would never think would be coming there for a thing like that, for those conversations, because mm-hmm. people have a different perspective of what that all is. And then I was teaching, of course, you know, the girls and things too, and I tried to help them as much as possible. And most people at the club did want to learn, how do we manifest more money? How do we create more money?
Right.
That's so stressful. That's what most people's stress revolves around. Mm-hmm. But there's such a broader picture to all of that. And that's how I got started. I was like, this is what I'm doing anyway, so I'm going back to school.
You're saying that, and I was having just flashbacks, not bad flashbacks, but good flashbacks of having the same thing happen. Like people coming in, if you've never been in a club or worked in a club or anything, I was in the industry for 13 years, and I would have people come in and sit down and just want to talk for 2 hours and just needed somebody to talk to. Like people need that so much in their life, and being able to help anybody wherever they are, you know, in that journey was something that I did all the time too. It was just like, well, yeah, let's sit down and talk. Tell me what you got. You know, it's like, explain to me what's going on in your life.
That's what a lot of girls actually in the club are doing, whether they realize it or not. Because all of us are in that club because we've gone through so many struggles that we didn't really know where else to go to actually survive. Mm-hmm. And not just survive, but thrive. We chose to go in there because we wanted to thrive. We still wanted to be able to take care of our family and travel and eat the type of food we wanted to eat without having to worry about where that next meal is going to come from. And sometimes when you're young, you want that type of cash. That's where you go. But you learn so much during those struggles.
Mm-hmm. The struggles are what teach us.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It's like, even with, you know, I look at business now and different things, like the things that fail, I go, those are like, you've got to have that because it's the things that teach you. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I look at things now as either a success or a learning, you know, and not like a success and a failure. It's a success and a learning. Did you, like what type of education, what type of learning did you do after that? You know, what did you do to get into your field right now?
Well, then I geared back toward philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I went back to school for. And I also studied through the Chopra University in Carlsbad, like Deepak Chopra. Mm-hmm. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with Deepak Chopra. The whole Chopra Center is amazing. David G is amazing. He is one of my main teachers to this day and friend. The support system that whole community is, whether it's the people that just end up going to the Chopra Center as a student, whether they want to teach or not, and the people who work there, all of them are just very supportive.
Mm-hmm. It is so helpful to have people that are around you that are supportive in whatever field that you're in. You know what I mean? How did, what obstacles, you know, when you got into this, what obstacles did you face getting into your field? Like, was there, and how did you get through it? Do you know what I mean? Was it getting out to Carlsbad? Was it just your own mindset and having to shift in some things? Or, like, what were some of those obstacles?
That's a really tough question. And I don't know offhand. Mm-hmm. I really think everything kind of flowed pretty well as far as transitioning from the club out of there. A lot of my friends and family were worried about people finding out what I did because I did it for so long, but I wasn't concerned about that. I wanted that to be a part of my story.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe just shifting from now not making all of this money to building a business, that was probably the hardest part.
Oh my gosh, yes. Right. I worked three jobs when I stopped working in the clubs. I was working three jobs at once just to try to financially make up what I was losing.
Right.
And I still didn't. Do you know what I mean? And I was working hours and hours and hours and hours and hours a day. How did you get through that? Like what was your shift in how you made it through that?
You know, the universe really took care of me as far as manifesting just survival. I was also going through a big emotional breakdown during that time, and I don't know if it was a combination of things. It was the shift that was happening to my own personal rebirth.
Mm-hmm.
I had to go through that, I think. One thing happened, and it really wasn't that big of a deal, but my emotions and mind turned it into something ginormous, mm-hmm. and then it dominoed. So everything that had previously happened to me that I could ever remember that was bad all just came crashing in, because I was the kind of person that was like, I'm fine.
Right.
I'm fine.
Right.
And I just kept moving forward, because that's what we're told we're supposed to do. You're not supposed to stop and be emotional and cry and lay in the bed for a week, because that makes you weak. So I think I fell into that. That was my condition thinking. I fell into that. I wanted to be strong and powerful mm-hmm. and keep moving forward. And I had a child at 16. So I always, I guess, use that as, I just have to keep going. I don't have time to be upset about anything, which has a purpose sometimes, but sometimes we do need to sit back and mm-hmm. actually go through that, because if you don't, it all does come crashing down. But yeah, as far as financially, every time I would get to a point where I would think, man, am I doing the right thing building this as on my own rather than going out and working for someplace else, like a Chopra Center, mm-hmm. per se, in the Kentucky area or Cincinnati or wherever. I wanted to build it on my own. And I would get to that point of questioning my intuitive thought of doing that. And then the universe would be like, oh, here's a check for $5,000. And that is the truth. Well, I have to tell you all this story, but I had just, before I left the club, I wanted everything in the house to be all finished. Mm-hmm. And I put in new hardwood floors, and I was repairing things so I can have it just how I want it without that being a thing, right? So we go to California, and it was our testing weeks. My husband also is Chopra certified, so mm-hmm. he teaches Ayurveda. So him and I are out there for 2 weeks of testing, and my oldest son was early 20s. Early 20s at this point. So he calls me. He's house sitting, and he says, I kind of flooded the floor. So I was like, how bad is it? Oh, just a little. It's just a little bit.
It's just a little water.
Floor's just a little warped in one spot.
Oh, gosh.
So I was like, okay. He had left the water dripping because it was below freezing here. And I actually told him to leave it dripping.
Right.
But I don't know if it was dripping or not. Either way, he left for a couple of days in that 2 week process and didn't come back home. He's hanging out with his friends. So we get home, and literally almost the entire upstairs is flooded, had gone through to the downstairs. So the whole downstairs ceiling caved in, the entire 9 yards of a flood. And I was so upset. But then I realized, this is, once again, the universe taking care of you. Because insurance gave us quite a bit of money for that. So we chose not to fix it in that moment mm-hmm. and have that as a cushion while we build.
Wow.
Perfect. See, we never know where it's going to come from.
No, you never know. You never know. It's very true. It's very true. What advice would you give someone starting out in any field, like in whatever they chose to do, like to start out in something, like what would you say to someone that is just wanting to veer off on their own venture?
Don't start anything, one, in panic mode.
Mm, that's so good.
Panic mode never creates goodness.
No.
Even if it is your dharma, your life purpose, and that's what you're supposed to be doing, if we react with this ball of anxiety, then we just create the anxiety rather than our actual purpose. Mm-hmm. So taking that step back and allowing it to flow a little bit more, and also not choosing what you want to do based upon, is it going to make good money?
Mm-hmm.
You have to do it based upon, is it going to make me happy?
Exactly. Exactly. That's so smart. I mean, people need to do, like, if the world, and I've heard this before, if the world had more people doing things that they like love to do, like, we would be such a more peaceful and happy place. Absolutely. Because people wouldn't be so stressed out, stuck in something that they hate. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
You've got to love it.
Creates a lot of this, the drug epidemic that mm-hmm. we have. I think that's one of the main causes, is we tell these children, babies, at 18 years old, 17, 18 years old, out of high school, okay, now you have to make a choice. You either have to go to college or you have to get a job. And if you get this job, you should just stay with it for life. Mm-hmm. These babies don't know what they want to do. Mm-hmm. Most 40-year-olds don't really know what they want to do.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So we need to let these people process and appreciate who they are more, I believe, too, rather than saying, oh, maybe you should keep that as a hobby, not a job. Oh, that's not going to make any money. We've all heard parents or teachers or whoever mm-hmm. say, I can't be an artist. I mean, artists don't make money.
Mm-hmm.
So we're discouraging their true calling. And it may not even be an artist, but that's what is getting them interested into where they're supposed to end up, wherever that may be. Mm-hmm. Because it's usually not, that's what we want to do. We think that's what we want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And then it kind of morphs into something around that and still involves it. Like, I never thought I would be writing a book.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I'd be writing at all. That was right. not on my agenda. But here we are, author for the Chopra Center, working on my book is almost complete, but I had to just accept when offers come along, just accept those and try them.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's a journey. Mm-hmm. You know, people think that it's got to be this. Now I've decided to do this thing. This is the thing. And I'm putting a stake in the ground and this is it. And you go, well, you know, it could be a great journey to get somewhere where you didn't even, you know, you never expected what it's going to look like in the end. I mean, I'm still on that journey. Good grief. I'm just like, hey, I think today I'll do yarn. I mean, you know, it's like, but I love it. Oh, but it's not, you know, I never thought that I'd be with so much yarn all day long, you know, and I love it. I love it. And, you know, who knows where that will, what it will morph into.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? It's not, I'm not so tied to saying this is the thing, this is the only thing, I'm not going to try anything else because I have to make this, you know.
Mm-hmm. Or I don't know it.
Yeah.
A lot of times I think people turn on opportunity that the universe is giving to them on a silver platter because maybe they don't feel comfortable enough yet, mm-hmm. or maybe they think it's not related to their field, but they haven't taken a moment to really think, how can I morph this together?
Mm-hmm.
Because it might not even be about what you're doing. Maybe it's about who you're going to meet along the way and what that's going to turn into. Yeah, mm-hmm. just enjoying the journey, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did you meet your husband?
At the club. And that is so out of his element. Completely. Right. He is not a club guy. Mm-hmm. He's never a club guy. But he was there making for a meeting. He made music, so here we are. We got the stereotypical rap, and yeah, we got the rapper. And the
right. Oh, wait. That sounds very familiar to me. Yep, there it is.
Yep.
Yeah.
And then we were like, oh, I didn't know that actually someone like you really did exist. Hi, mm-hmm. there you are. I actually had a vision of him in my bathroom years before we met. So when I met him, I knew immediately. His rap name was Verb, aka Verbal. So before I knew his name, I knew I was going to marry him. And I'm not a drinker. So I tell my friend who works there, I'm like, I'm going to marry him. And I was like, are you drunk? No. I just know it.
No, I absolutely. I think that if you have not rushed into a relationship because of anxiety or whatever, or because you're lonely or whatever, and you wait for what's supposed to happen. I remember I knew I wanted to marry Tim. We had, I mean, almost immediately when I met him. And when we started dating, we had been dating for just a couple of weeks or whatever, and it was coming up Christmas. And I made a framed picture for him. And in the back of it, I had put a note and I told him, you're not allowed to open this till next Christmas, but here's your picture. You can look at that picture. And then on the note said, My answer is yes.
Oh, that's so great. I just got chills. So great.
And it was around that time that he actually did a little bit before then, but we got engaged in that November, right before it. And I was like, right after we got engaged, I said, go look at this picture, because I gave it to you last year when we first started dating. And he opened it up, you know, and looked at the back and looked at the note. And yeah. I was like, it's always been yes.
Now, before him, did you mm-hmm. think something like that was possible, or that was just something people made up and over-exaggerated in movies?
Oh, no idea that was possible. Oh, my gosh. I went through this. I remember even just a few months before that, I was like laying on the floor, crying, going, I don't think that I'm going to, you know, I'd had two unsuccessful marriages in my early 20s. And I was in my late 30s, and I was like, this is just not going to happen. Like, I'm just going to have to accept that I'm going to be single. And something, it felt off in me about that too. I was like, it doesn't sound right though. Like, I think that I'm supposed to be partnered with someone. Mm-hmm. But I was just like, I don't even see how that's going to happen. I don't see how anybody like it, because I have a pretty strong personality. You know, and I was going, I don't know that there's anybody that has a strong enough personality to be with me every day. You know what I mean? And not in a bad way, but I was going, I don't know that there's anybody out there that's even made like that. And then I met old Tim Savage. And I went, oh, there you go. That's who it was.
Someone for all of us.
Ah, that's right. I believe that. I believe that for sure. And I'm so glad. Leo's so sweet. He just, so you know,
he
such a good heart.
Human than me, I promise.
Jim is too. Yes.
He is just genuinely the sweetest, kindest, mm-hmm. most loyal person I have ever met in my life. Mm-hmm. It's just really mind blowing because, again, I didn't really realize that people like that did exist.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's wonderful to have someone like that. And he's calmed me down a lot. I have a temper. I've always had a temper. So it's a good thing that I am in mindfulness.
Keep a good mindset. There you go.
Being mindful in the moment of what I'm saying and how I'm reacting.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they say we end up doing what we needed. We become our own hero. And then we want to shout it from the rooftops and tell everyone else how they can become their own hero. So mm-hmm. I think mm-hmm. that's how that all happened. But yeah, he calms me down a lot because he's just so super chill.
Did you all, interesting question for you. Did you all have any issues at the beginning with your family or anything else with the race or,
nope,
you
not
know,
even a little bit?
That's so great.
And has never been a problem anywhere, mm-hmm. actually. Yeah, a lot of people say Kentucky is so racist if they've never been here.
Right.
And if you go to Cali, you go up the West Coast, they think people in Kentucky are just so racist and extremist. And that's just not the case. I think people in Kentucky are some of the most kind, loving people there are. There's ignorance everywhere. Mm-hmm. So, of course, there are racist people here mm-hmm. and everywhere. But anywhere that we've ever traveled or anything, it's not no. I have had racist issues on my own, mm-hmm. not with him. People thinking that I'm Mexican, people taking money out of my hand because they thought I was Mexican. One time at the club, I was actually serving at the time. So I was getting money from one man and he tipped me, and his friend literally jerked that money out of my hand and said, we don't tip Mexicans.
Oh my gosh.
So I actually did not completely lose my mind on this person. Somehow I did not. Mm-hmm. And just like threw it at him and walked away. I don't know what the conversation was when I left, what his friend said to him. But I've had things like that happen quite a bit.
Because you're Melungeon.
Yes.
Yeah, can you tell everybody like the history that if you're not from Kentucky, you may not know like what that even is.
Right. Kentucky, Tennessee, if you're in those areas, you may have heard of it and maybe mm-hmm. not. But Melungeon is a mixed race, and Melungeon was actually originally a derogatory term, mm-hmm. but they just kind of took it on as their own. Mm-hmm. So I do have court documents of my family having to go to court to prove, quote unquote, prove they weren't black so that they did not get outcasted, murdered, you know, turned into slaves, whatever the cases were. And the documents say no, things like no, they don't have the Negro smell.
Oh gosh.
I just always knew them to be Portuguese. Just crazy things like this. That did happen mm-hmm. in Kentucky. But yeah.
Gosh.
So Melungeon is a mixed race of Moorish, which is black, who is also Arab speaking and is also Islam. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of things going on just in that one
yep.
nationality. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I wish more people here knew mm-hmm. because there were mosques here and there were Muslims here long before the founding fathers. And most people don't know that. I think mm-hmm. if they did, there wouldn't be so many people who are afraid that Muslims are trying to take over, or they, right. that Muslims are out to get everyone, or that they're so against Christians, or anything like that. Mm-hmm. They've always been here. So we have to be really careful not to listen to the media and talk to our neighbors, talk to those people. Once again, just like with the race or anything else, I'm sure there are Muslims who don't like other people, who don't like Christians, just mm-hmm. like there's Christians who don't like Muslims. You know, it goes back yeah. and forth with all races. We can't say one person is, or one group is that thing. So anyway, it's Moorish, Gypsy, Turk, and Native. Mm-hmm. All of those together makes a Melungeon. And some Melungeons do have Portuguese and some other random things. They just have to go back their line and see what all those things are. It basically happened from everyone being on the coast and coming into North Carolina for trading. Mm-hmm. And then all of the Melungeons ended up being all in the Appalachian Mountains together. So when we look back at history and we see some natives wearing turbans, mm-hmm. no one explained to us in school, why do these natives have turbans on?
Right.
mm-hmm. That's because they mingled together, they mixed together, they became one tribe, and there were Moorish people who were running tribes.
That's so interesting. I think that our history and what we've been told of our history is so different than what it is. Mm-hmm. And I really believe that with open communication with each other from whatever area, like, you know, you were talking about if you're Muslim and Christian and being able to like, you know, there are plenty of people, I'm Christian, there are plenty of people that are friends of mine that aren't, and it's not like a good bad thing. Do you know what I mean? I think that that's what it's turned into,
right?
Is like some weird good bad thing, when it's like a no, we're human, so we need to actually, you know, be kind to each other, right. You know, because we've got way more in common than we think. You know what I mean?
There was a comedian, I can't think of who it was right now, but he's like, it doesn't matter if it was Jesus or Muhammad or Buddha or whoever. It doesn't matter who the messenger was. Did you get the message? Did you get it? Mm-hmm. We're working on a few thousand years here. These messengers and teachers were here. And we're still going through the same type of conversations and fights and wars and struggles. We gotta get together.
Yeah, I mean, what do you think that the world needs right now? Unity. Like, if you get unity.
Unity, mm-hmm. conversation, education, mm-hmm. questions. Instead of getting mad at someone or assuming, question. You know, I've been in the room before, and this was years ago. The person didn't really know me that well. They just knew some of the things I thought. And I heard her say, oh, Missy doesn't believe in God. Hmm. I was like, I'm right here. I'm right here. Mm-hmm. You can ask me, but actually, yes, I do. I use the word creator majority of the time, mm-hmm. but I could not wrap my head around why she was just spouting this out rather than talking to me about it. Mm-hmm. And questions. I love asking questions, and I want people to ask me as many questions as they want to, whether they think they agree with me mm-hmm. or they don't. Let's find out how we got to the thoughts that we have. Going back to that conditioned thinking, mm-hmm. how did we get here? Mm-hmm. Was it our parents? Did someone do something bad to us? So we categorized this whole group as that way? Or was it our preacher? Was it the community that we grew up in? Did we not travel? Have we never met this type of person before? Mm-hmm. So we're afraid of them because it's outside of what we know. Mm-hmm.
It's just like looking at people's differences and saying, you're different than me. I can't be around you. And I think that that is one of the overarching things that we've done in the world. That's caused so much hurt and pain and strife. And, you know, the church has done it to so many different people and different groups and different, you know, like as if these people belong, these people don't. Like, it is wretched. I believe to the heart of God that anyone would be outcast, that anyone would be looked at and gone, you're different, I can't talk to you. You're different, I don't want to be friends with you. You're different, I can't be around. Like, it's like, I just want to scream at the top of my lungs. Like, that is not loving each other. No. You know what I mean?
And at the end of the day, we are all God. So if you're looking at another human based upon what they think, what their skin looks like, what they're wearing, whatever their culture is, or where they came from, what border did they cross over, and thinking of them as less of, then what are you, if you are someone who believes in any creator, what are you saying to that creator to look at it and what it created and hate it mm-hmm. based on nothing? Literally based on air.
Right. Unity, girl. We need more unity. Yes. Unity and open communication with each other.
And social media is great for that. I personally love, I love social media. I think it's fabulous. Everyone that is somewhere and they can't travel, maybe they don't have the finances, or they are afraid. I know people who are afraid to fly, afraid to travel. That's fine. Before, you were stuck and you didn't have the resources to talk to people outside of your area and in these mm-hmm. different cultures and different countries. Now you can talk to anybody anywhere at any time for free.
Right.
So you can get on social media and ask questions all day long.
Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh.
If the ego allows you to.
Right.
You gotta break through that ego.
Right.
And don't act like you know it all.
Right. Because none of us know it all.
No.
Like, there's not anybody knows it all.
No, I tell my husband, I'm like, look, I'm just gonna have to live forever because I wanna learn everything. So I'm not really sure how I'm
going to
fit it all in.
Right. I'm totally a serial learner. I'm like, I want to learn and research everything, which is why I get my hands in so many different things. Because I'm like, I really want to learn from the top to the bottom, like, what this is. You all didn't hear the conversation because we weren't recording it. But just like we were talking before, I was going, I would like to learn how to, you know, grow my own botanicals and dye fabric. Like, I just think that would be so cool and much more healthy for the earth, and, you know, not putting chemicals out there, and just learn how to dye cloth and fat, you know, all of that from flowers.
Absolutely.
And vegetables. I just think that would be cool as can be. Something I totally want to learn. I could sit and just try to learn stuff all day long. Thankfully, we have Google.
Right.
Thankfully, there's YouTube.
The internet. Let me look that up. Amazing. It's my favorite thing.
It's It's like, I don't know how to do that. Hold on, YouTube. Let me just check that. Oh, okay. That's how you do it. Is there, speaking of learning, is there any books or podcasts or anything that you're listening to right now? Or
maybe besides the Sandy Savage Show?
No, stop it. Besides the Sandy Savage Show.
Actually, my friend just went with me to Baltimore, uh-huh. and I turned her on to the show, too.
Oh, you're the one.
So, I read a lot. Like you said, I just mm-hmm. get these sparks of like, oh my gosh, I want to know about this. And I just have to go find it. And my husband will wake up sometimes and find me the floor at 2 a.m. just surrounded by books. I'm like, just researching.
I gotta research.
But my favorite things are spiritual books. I love the Bhagavad Gita, the Bible, the Quran. Just learning all of those makes one big picture, and it does that unity. Going back to that unity, it helps all of us understand one another. Even if you don't agree with all of it, to just read it and learn it, it's amazing, really, how it brings everything together. And you can hear a conversation and think, I don't agree with that, but I know how they got there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I think that is one of our main keys in understanding each other. I don't have to agree with it.
Right.
But there are a lot of things that I do agree with. And I think all of them are amazing tools. David G is one of my favorite authors, talking about him again. He has a few, The Secrets of Meditation. Probably my favorite book that I recommend the most, and I actually have it on me right now because I carry it everywhere, is The Writings of Florence Scovel Shinn. Have you ever read anything? She was born in the 1800s and lived in New York and taught a lot of the things that I now, mindset, manifestation, metaphysics. So for her to be a woman during that time and still getting that message out is amazing to me. And I don't think she gets a lot of the recognition she deserves because it was just so dang long ago.
Yeah, right. Oh my gosh. I love that. I'm going to have to read it.
Yeah, it's great.
So to wrap it up, and we ask this of everybody that's on here, what is something that is bringing you joy right now?
The sun. As I look out the window, the sun, and my husband always brings me joy even when he gets on my nerves. The kids, same thing, bring me joy all the time even when they get on my nerves. I'm with our kids all the time. Right now they're actually visiting grandparents, so it's a little weird for me, but everything about them, just everything about watching all of them, all three of the kids and my husband, just brings me joy. Growth brings me joy. I feel like I'm evolving and growing every day.
Mm-hmm.
So can I tell a quick little story?
Sure.
So I haven't had any anxiety in a very, very long time.
Mm-hmm.
And last night, it kind of got the best of me. So I had to talk myself down from it and realize what is actually happening right now. Get my mind out of the future.
Mm-hmm.
But I was up and down a little bit. I didn't really sleep so great. This morning, first thing, I went out on our deck, and I've never in my life seen a hummingbird in our backyard. Ever. This hummingbird comes up and is flying all around my legs, actually touches my legs and my arms a couple times. And this was before I knew what it was, right? It's just fluttering like a Disney movie. That,
right.
Boom, like spinning around me.
Uh-huh.
And then I look up and it's just at my face, fluttering there, beautiful, and then flies off. And I was like, oh, I love those little messages from the universe. If you're fine, you're tripping. You need to calm down.
Settle down now.
Like, oh, thanks. I love that.
That's so cool. I remember when I was leaving Miami, like it was one of our last days in Miami. And we went out into the ocean, and it was just a clear, clear, clear day. And I was like, I was all anxious about the move and, what are we going to do next? What are the next steps look like and everything? And all of a sudden all of these beautiful fish, but like brightly colored fish, started weaving in and out of my legs, and they were just making, you know, like an infinity symbol around my legs. Wow. It was, and I was just like, what? I said, Tim, look at this. And I mean, I was walking and they would follow me, and they were just like, and it just was like, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine, everything's fine. And then they eventually swam off. I think that if we, it's something that I've really tried hard to, in the past couple of years, to work on, is like staying in the present of like not letting the future stress me out, and not letting the past define any of the future, but like really staying in the present.
Right.
And
it is a job.
It's hard. It is a lot of work
out there.
Yeah.
And a lot coming at us.
Mm-hmm.
So to keep reminding ourselves, this is what's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
You're okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's work.
And even, I mean, I think that it's now work just for people to have conversation, to fight against the phone. You know, to be present with a person,
right.
To be present in your everyday activities, that you're being present if you're cooking. Do you know what I mean?
So important.
Like,
oh, that's so important. Yes.
Those kinds of things. Like I think that, you know, I'm so super, we've just got to start living a little bit in the present. Do you know what I mean? Oh my gosh.
Looking at our family members in the eye as we talk to them and turning the TV off.
Yes.
Like you said, putting the phone down. We have a rule of no phone at the dinner table.
Mm-hmm.
So at least during that moment,
we're going to be looking at each other. It's like, I see you. Well, Melissa, where can people find you? Just before we leave, like what's your website and all that?
Well,
we'll have all of it linked in the show notes too. But
I also do see people privately, one-on-one, mm-hmm. outside of just traveling and local workshops and things. Mm-hmm. So you can do that at drmelissacarper.com. You can go on there and book straight on the website. So you can look at the calendar and figure out what works best for you. Book straight from there.
What's your Instagram?
Dr. Melissa Carver. Facebook is Dr. Melissa Carver. Twitter.
All that.
Pinterest. Are there any that I'm missing? All the things.
I'm sure there's some new social media thing out there.
I do love social media. I think it helps us so much connect with each other and learn, mm-hmm. and spread that message of unity. But at the same time, like you said, there's a balance. Mm-hmm. You have to put that phone down sometimes. I just spent a week, not too long ago, a few months ago, with the Buddhist monks, mm-hmm. and they also love social media. And they're
right.
also on their phone taking selfies and and all the things when they're not doing what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked them about it. I had the opportunity to interview them, and I asked them, like, what do you think about social media? Love it. I loved hearing that, because a lot of times I think people, they want to be spiritual and they want to be connected to the earth so badly that they start looking at technology as a bad thing.
Right.
But it's not. It's a tool. Mm-hmm. It's control the tool. Don't let the tool control you.
Yes. Absolutely. Good grief. It's like, you don't have to, I'm going to disconnect all of my social and never be connected to anybody again. And you go, well, that's not really the point either. You know, it's like don't let it rule you.
Exactly.
You know,
and if you think that you're starting to become addicted or it's a problem, then taking breaks, I totally get, or even just taking it off your phone for a while.
Right.
It's not that one click and you have to actually go online and mm-hmm. put in all the passwords.
Mm-hmm. Or like not waking up immediately and grabbing your phone.
Right.
You know, take some time in the morning where you're
meditate. Where
you're just there. You know what I mean? It's like, do something else besides just look at your phone in the morning for the first hour. Try it. You know, the first 10 minutes, just, you know, work yourself up. I like to have a nice cup of tea and everything, but I'm so bad about just grabbing my phone
right. And
like looking at it. It's a little piece of self-care I've got to put into place.
Does anyone text or call?
Right? Oh my gosh. What's happening? What's happening? You know, Melissa, thank you for coming, hanging out. Talking to us today.
I wish everyone could see this beautiful building. If you've not been here and you live close, you need to come see it, because it's pretty amazing.
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Well, you all, we are going to, I'll have all of the links and everything listed there, as well as the transcript in the notes. And we will see you soon. Bye.
Well, thank you all for listening. Oh my gosh. So we will have every link and resource over there on the website. So you can head to the show notes and get all the information that you need that we talked about today. And I want to give a special thank you to all of our subscribers. Hey, if you're not a subscriber yet, go on and subscribe so you know when a new show comes out. And gosh, if you can, just go rate and review it. Give a little thumbs up. That is super, super helpful to us. Gosh, you all are such a great community, and I love getting to share life with y'all. From the whole Savage crew, have a great week, and I'll see you next time.